Hello, everybody. How are y'all doing today? And we want to welcome everybody from North County, East County, and all the military. Let's give a big hand to all the military, active and retired. Amen. God bless y'all. Let's get on our knees. North County, get on your knees. East County, if you're watching online, if you're driving down the street, watching on your phone, pull over, get out your car, get on your knees. Not on the street side, on the other side. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, your patience with us. We thank you for blessing us. Lord, we want to be used by you in an amazing way. Matter of fact, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you want to be used by God and you want God to flow through your life to be a blessing to someone else, just raise your hand real high. Very good. Raise your hand. Very good. Keep your hands. Okay, put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much. There are people here who say they want you to use them. Lord, some of them may be doing it out of peer pressure, but I believe that most of them are really sincere in their heart, if not all. I don't know. But Lord, I know that we want to serve you. We want to be faithful. And I pray that we are sincere about allowing God to have his way with our life and not putting conditions on his service, not putting conditions on what he asks us to do, that we would just say, Lord, we're going to do it. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Say hello to someone next to you, wherever you are. Say hello to someone next to you real quick. Amen, amen. Again, hello, everybody. I was talking to a guy one day, witnessing to him, and he asked me, well, you know, you're one of those Christians that believe there's only one way to heaven, and don't you? I said, well, no, actually, there's two ways to heaven. He said, well, you don't believe Jesus is, you know, you got to go through Jesus. I said, well, there's another way you can get to without Jesus. We'll let that marinate on your mind right now. Don't turn the online off. Just keep watching. Don't walk out yet. Well, he said, well, you know, everybody's a sinner and Jesus paid for your sin. Now he's arguing to me that Jesus is the only way when he's trying to prove to me to put his. So I said, listen. There's a lot of people who want to go to heaven and, you know, there's people all over the world and there's actually two ways to get to heaven. It is true that all have sinned, and it is true that you're going to pay for your sin with your life. But if you happen to be born sinless, and you can live your whole life without sin, then you don't need Jesus. But because no one ever did that, the only way you can go to heaven is Jesus. But for real, if you would be born with no sin, which will never happen because your parents were sinless, and then you could live sinless, then you can go to heaven without Jesus. But because everybody has sin and everybody is a sinner, we all need Jesus. Okay. But what he was asking me was, isn't there another way? And there was a time in Jesus' life that he asked the very same question. Is there another way? When Jesus lived his life on earth, he was a man in perfect relationship with the Father. And how he lived his life was a role model and an example to us. In other words, he was living his life as a human, showing us how to walk with God, and everything he did, we can do. For example, when the devil tempted him, he could have just said, devil, I crush you, I destroy you, but he didn't because we can't do that. But what he did do was he says, it is written. He used the word of God against the devil. So whenever you face temptation, you say, it is written. That's why it's important to read the Bible, study the Bible, and know the Bible. That is your weapon. He prayed, as we're going to see in a minute. He prayed all the time, sometimes all night long. Why? Because as a man in dependence on God, he had to pray. He said often, I can't do any miracles. I can only do what I see the Father doing. Why? Because he was living as a man dependent on the Holy Spirit, just like us. We're going to see in the story today, angels ministered to him. When he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, the angels came and strengthened him, just like they can do for us. He was betrayed by a friend, just like we all been betrayed. He was denied by a friend, just like we all been denied. The Bible says he was tempted in every single way, just like us, yet he never sinned. So he was a man who was living the same life we live, dealing with all the same stuff we did and doing it so he could show us how to do it. The one thing he did was the hardest thing he did was to die for our sin. In this story, we're going to see that it is so hard what he is going to face in his crucifixion that he actually asked the Father, "Father, is there any other way that I can get this done? In other words, can this cup pass by me?" And he was facing the biggest trial of his life, which was the most important trial of his life, which was dying for our sin. Now, what's the relevance? The relevance is this. You said you wanted God to use you. And if God is going to use you for something great, and when I say great, God-sized, let me qualify it. You want to be used, and you were created to be used by God for something for God. Not for you. In other words, you and I were created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared beforehand, Ephesians 2:10. In other words, God says, I'm going to create you and put you in situations all throughout your life so you could do something for me, something supernatural for me, not necessarily for you. Now, are you going to be blessed? More than you ever ask or imagine, but it's for the glory of God. And if that's going to happen, you're going to have to do what Jesus is going to do in this passage. You're going to have to voluntarily walk into a situation that you're going to pray God take away from you. God, this is going to be rough. I don't know if I want to do this. Man, God, why you got to put me through this? And you're going to have to make a decision to be courageous and voluntarily confront your fear and confront pain and say, I'm going to do it anyway. Instead of trying to get around it and say, Lord, I'll make my life easy. Take the pain away. Because in our world, we think, everything's supposed to be easy. God says, no. My job is to make you holy. Matter of fact, I had someone once tell me, when you get married, your spouse is not to make you happy. She or he is to make you holy. All y'all who are married, can I get amen? Okay. That was kind of like amen. Should I be saying amen to that? I want my spouse to make me happy. I don't want to say amen to that. I ain't got no time for that. God put that person in your life to make you holy. Matter of fact, I have a theory. My opinion means what? I have a theory that the reason we opposites attract is because God brought opposites together, because the only way opposites can get along is if they serve each other. And so God brought you a man who likes to do what you don't like to do. My wife and I are completely opposite. I talk, she don't like to talk. I like to be around a lot of people, she don't like to be around a lot of people. I like to do, travel, she hates the plane. So we have to serve each other in order to get along. Why? Because in serving, you become holy. God says, it ain't about you having fun, it's about you being holy. Well, you gonna have fun. But I'm more interested in you being holy. And if you're going to be used by me to do something great, as y'all raise your hand you want to do, then you got to pay the price. And the price is sometimes you're going to have to walk into something that's very difficult. Sometimes that very difficult thing is just a consequence of your knuckleheadness. Can I get amen? Amen. You did something knuckleheadish. You got in a relationship. You got in a business deal. You bought something you shouldn't have bought. Whatever. You got addicted to something because you did it. And now you got to deal with it. But God's going to get you through. So you got to say, Lord, I'm going to go through it. So in this story, Last Supper had just taken place. They go up to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is going to pray that he can avoid the crucifixion. Let's read. Mark 14, the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 32. Mark 14, Matthew, Mark, New Testament, second book, 14 chapter, 32 verse, says, then they came to the place which is called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. So he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. If you're going through something, matter of fact, how many of y'all are going through something right now? Just raise your hand. Oh, look, keep your hand up real high, real high. Look around the room. Just keep your hand up. Look around the room. Don't think anybody's going to know what you're going through just because you got your hand up, so don't get paranoid about that. Okay, put your hands down. The reason I want you to look around the room is because people go, no one understands. No one understands. I'm not trying to make fun of you because you're going through something, but people understand. Matter of fact, how many of y'all ever been through a relationship problem? Oh, dang. And I promise you, in North County, East County, they're doing the same thing. How many of y'all been through a financial problem? Oh, dang. How many of y'all had a health problem? Just leave your hand up. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's like all of us. Well, you never had what I had. Shut up. Jesus said, Peter, James, and John, why don't you come with me? I need my friends with me. Surround yourself with people who love you. You got critics in your life, get rid of them. Some of your friends are not really your friends. Get somebody in your life that loves you and that's going to be there for you. Okay? And just go, sometimes you want your friends just to be there. When my father died, I called up my friends back east, and it was hard to just tell them. And one of my friends, I was crying on the phone, these guys I grew up with. And one of my friends like, man, you got to be strong. I said, no, I'm crying right now. I ain't trying to be strong for nobody right now. I'm telling you, click. just be there for me right now. Just be there for me. Okay, you got to get your friends to be with you. Let's keep reading. Look at verse 34. It says, he said to him, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Oh, by the way, this is Jesus, remember? In Luke chapter 22, it says that he was in agony, that his sweat was like blood. What does that mean? That you have blood capillaries, like blood vessels that are only one cell thin. And one blood cell will go through to your sweat gland, and you could be in so much in stress that those capillaries will burst and you will actually sweat blood. That's what Jesus is going through. That's what your Lord is going through. This is hard. I don't know all y'all, but I seriously doubt that you ever had that happen. Maybe one or two, maybe, possibly. But I probably, the most you ever had was you rubbed your head. Oh, I can't deal with it. But I don't know if you were sitting there sweating and blood was actually coming out because you had so much stress, the blood capillaries in your forehead burst. That is stress. Why? Because he's a man just like us. Look what it says. That he was sorrowful to the point of death. Stay here and watch. And he went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass. Now, I don't know your posture when you pray. If your posture when you pray is like this, that says something about your posture of your heart. The Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. But not only the words that come out of your mouth, your body expression, your posture. This says something about what's in my heart. If you're praying, if someone comes to you and says, I got something wrong with you, and you go, that's different than. And if you say, dear God, dear God, that's different than doing this. I don't know when's the last time if you ever prayed on your face. But I think there'd be a little different result than if you prayed on your face than if you prayed with your hands folded, your arms folded, or you prayed on your knees. The Bible says Jesus was on the ground praying at the point of death, sweating blood. And then he says, is it possible that this could pass from me? Verse 36, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found Peter, them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping again? Could you not watch for an hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed, spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them again asleep, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. They're like, oh, sorry, God, we fell asleep again. Then he came a third time. Are you still sleeping again? I got to pray to my Father. Look what it says in verse 36. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. In Luke chapter 22, the same passage story is recorded. And in that passage, the Bible says that an angel came and strengthened him. What is that? You have angels available to you. I just want you to imagine, you got, you know, I never seen an angel, at least I don't think. I think I saw an angel in the form of a person, but not an angelic sighting other than in a picture. There's a young lady in our church who was, when she was 3 years old, she was living out in the country, and there was a quarter mile dirt road from her house to the main street. And when she was three, she wandered out of her house and walked down that quarter mile road to the main street, and a car pulled up. Door open. She gets in the car. White car, white fluffy seats, the guy is in a white suit. He drives her back to her house, knocks on the door. Her mom answers the door. The man says, do you have a little girl 3 years old? She says, yes, she's in the house. And she says, no, she's in my car. And she says, no, my daughter's in the house. The woman walks throughout the house looking for the little girl. She's not in the house. The mom comes out freaked out, and the little girl's in the car. She grabs the little girl, hugs her, what were you doing, what were you doing? And she turns around, the car is gone. That was an angel. You have angels, and they can appear to you in all kinds of forms. They can speak to you. They can reveal visions to you. They can fight on your behalf. They can get you home when you're drunk. How many of y'all had that happen? You drove. they don't even know what I'm going to say, but they're like, yeah, that happened to me. I got home drunk. I mean, you got so plastered, you didn't know where you were, and next thing you know, you were home. Drove home, someone took you home, you drove home drunk, somehow you got home, got the keys out, and you were coherent enough to get a key and lock the door, maybe not, or get in your house and get to your bed, and maybe you were asleep in your clothes, but somehow you got home. How'd you get home? I don't know that it was always an angel, but I know that happens sometimes. Some of you ladies have been through some parking lots late at night, and there's sounds, and you're by yourself, and an angel saved you. The Bible says Jesus, angels ministered to him and they strengthened him. You have this trial, this difficult situation. It is a health issue. It's a relationship issue. It's a financial issue. It's a career issue. It's you got to confess some sin issue. You got to put on your big boy pants and say what you got to say issue. And you're trying to get around it, and God says there's no way around it. I want you to pray to me. I want you to pray to me. And I don't want you to whine to me. Dear God, how come this happened? Dear God, this ain't fair. This is messed up. How come he ain't going through it? I'm better than him. He's more sinful than me. She ain't as cute as me. All that garbage we say to God. God's like, that's not praying. That's whining. Now, you can whine to God, but stop long enough to listen. Because what God has to say to you is way more important than what you have to say to him. Why? Well, what you have to say to him, he already knows. And what you have to say to him ain't going to change your life. It's not going to teach you anything new. He's going to change your life by speaking to you. Pray to God and listen. In a few minutes, we're going to pray in all the campuses, and we're going to give you an opportunity to pray to God. And then we want to pray with you, because we want to help you get over your trial, get through your pain. We want to be a blessing to you and give you an opportunity to experience God here today so God can get you through. Because once God gets you through the valley of the shadow of death, you come out the other side, you're like, that wasn't that bad. Because when David, who fought Goliath when he was a little boy, actually he was a little boy when he fought Goliath, but right before he fought Goliath, he was taking care of his father's sheep. And actually he had to leave his sheep to go fight Goliath. He told his sheep, I'll be right back, I'll be right back. And he went to... I know it's kind of corny, but it's the goodies. It works every time. But what he told King Saul was, when a lion or bear came after the sheep, I actually took the sheep out of the lion or bear's mouth and then killed the lion with my hands. He says, because God got me through that, I know he can get me through this. And if you're facing something right now, God's trying to get you through that so he can get you through this. And he got you through something before, so he can get you through this. And if he's going to get you through this, he's going to get you through something else. But you got to pray to him. You have to surrender to him, call on his angels. But more importantly, what it says here is that he's submitted to God. Look what it says. Look at verse 36. It says, Abba, Father. Everyone say Abba.
Abba.
Say Daddy.
Daddy.
Abba's Daddy. If you ever go to Israel, you'll hear little kids run down the street. Abba, 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 Abba. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but your will be done. Your cup is the allotment of God's blessing, wisdom, opportunities in your life. It's what God has for you. Only God knows. But a cup is something different as well. The Romans were masters in torture. And if you were going to be executed or you were being punished, they would line guys up one shoulder to shoulder like this, next to each other. And they would give the first guy a cup. And in that cup was poison. He could decide to drink the whole cup. And if he drank the whole cup of poison, none of these guys would have to drink the cup. So when the first guy went, they're like, brother, aren't you thirsty? Go ahead. Take it all. We're good. But he had to drink something. So he would drink a cup. And if he just took a little sip, then he would give the rest to this guy. And this guy had to make a decision. Do I drink the rest of it and save all these guys? Or do I just take a little sip and then give it to the next guy? And Jesus is saying, you know that cup of poison? Can it pass me? Because I'm getting ready to get betrayed by my disciple. I just washed his feet. I'm getting ready to get denied 3 times by him who just told me he would die for me. I'm getting ready to get criticized by the religious leaders that we put in place, the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all the aristocrat who think they know more than God. I'm getting ready to have all the people whose sins I'm dying for yell out, crucify him, crucify him, and they're gonna crucify me and let a criminal go. They're gonna pull my beard out. They're gonna punch me in the face. They're gonna hit me with rods. They're gonna stick thorns in my head. They're going to whip my back 39 times with 39 lashes of 9 leather straps with metal and bone chips and rip the skin and muscle off my bone. They're going to make me carry my own cross, be humiliated in front of everybody up a hill. They're going to nail me there and I'm going to hang there for 6 hours. Then they're going to stick a spear in my side. This is not going to be fun. Matter of fact, he told Peter, I'm going to die. I mean, he told all his disciples, I'm going to get arrested, be crucified, and suffer many things. And Peter said, no. And he said, get behind me, Satan. I have to suffer. Because if I don't suffer, you don't get forgiveness. So Jesus voluntarily, and he knew this the whole time, but now is the time of truth. He voluntarily says, I have to do this for your benefit. If you are going through something or getting ready to go through something, number one, you have to ask yourself, what does God want to do in my life? Even if it's a result of your own sin. God is going to use it to purify you. And if you don't learn that lesson, you will find yourself right back there doing it again. I want God to use me. Well, go through this trial. Let God purify you. Let God cleanse you. Let God shape you into what he wants you to be. And don't try to sidestep it and get out of it. I was talking to a guy once while I was actually preaching, and I said that ministry was hard, and I came off the stage, and this one young kid came up to me. When I say young kid, he was 20-something, getting ready to be hired in a ministry by my friend. He comes to me and says, well, Pastor, I disagree with you. I think you're wrong. I said, wrong about what? He said, you said ministry was hard. If God is on your side, it won't be hard. It'll be easy. I said, brother, I'm calling my friend up and I'm telling him not to hire you because you're a problem. You are clueless. You are telling me you're going into battle with the devil. And looking at what Jesus said in that passage, and it's going to be easy for you, but it wasn't easy for Christ. How are you better than Christ? And all your pride that we all have has to be stripped out of our life. That's going to be easy. And we have to be shown all the garbage that's in our heart. That's going to be easy. You are clueless. Let me tell you something. You go through it and you say, Lord, purify me. I'm going to go through it because I gotta be transformed. And if you're allowing me to face this, if you're allowing me to go through it, it must be for my own good. In a minute, we're going to pray, and there's some of y'all in here who need prayer. You need to be encouraged today. You need to be reaffirmed that God knows exactly who you are. God has an amazing plan for you, and God's going to get you through. No temptation, no burden has overtaken you, ever overtaken you, ever will overtake you, except what is common to man. Ever. When I was a youth pastor, I used to call my kids up every week. Well, every day, but especially the day of a Bible study. Are y'all coming to Bible study? Are y'all coming to Bible study? And this one girl hadn't been there in 3 or 4 weeks. I called her up and said, hey, what's up? She said, well, I got a problem. I'm like, you got a problem? You don't run away from God. You run to God. Well, I got a big problem. Oh, that's different. God only deals with little problems. So I said, you must think you're pregnant. How did you know? You're 16 and horny. That's how I know. God says, I want to help you. I want to help you. And you have to say, Lord, I'm ready to be helped. I'm ready to be helped. So in a minute, we're going to pray, and we're just going to give you a time to say, Lord, get me through. I'm not the only one. And even if I was, you are tempted in every single way, to the point of death. You can get me through. So I'm going to ask all y'all in all campuses, everywhere you're at, just bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to sit quietly, just for a minute. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about your life. Just think about your relationship with God. Your pain, your fear, your burden, your trial. The unknown in your life. In a minute, I'm going to ask you, just as we're in this posture prayer in all campuses, we're going to ask you in a minute just to exercise courage and get out of your seat and come down to the altar, which you can do at any time during our prayer. But there's some of you right now, God just wants you to talk to him and listen to him in silence and let him speak to you. And affirm in your heart that he loves you and he wants you to surrender. So right now, just for a minute, all campuses, just quiet. Ask God to speak to you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed in all the campuses, I just want us all to keep our eyes closed, heads bowed. We want to pray for you. I'm just going to ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed, just to exercise courage. Come up out of your seat and come down to the altar in all campuses, just quietly. All our eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Just get up out of your seat. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. You may need prayer because you're sick. You may be facing surgery, facing a hard conversation with someone you're in a relationship with. Just come up out of your seat and come down to the altar. And whatever campus you're in, Just come down to the seat. Get out of your seat between you and God. Exercise courage and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. God bless you. God is saying, if you knock, I'll open the door. If you come to me with all your burdens. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is get up out of your seat and walk up, back, and the ushers will direct you down to the stage. So just get up and come on down anywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Come on down. As you come down, let's take a knee and kneel down in front of the altar. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. We got time. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Come on down. You have something that is weighing on you. You something you have to confront, and it's big. You've been trying to fight it on your own. You're wasting your time. God wants you to call to him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to submit to him, that it be his will, not your will. And not only that you go through it, but that you grow through it. He doesn't want you to go through it. He wants you to grow through it. Come out of your seat. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. In the campuses, in all the campuses, eyes closed, heads bowed, just come up out of your seat right now. Take courage. Exercise courage. Get up out of your seat. Bring your spouse, bring your kids, and bring them down to the altar, and let's kneel at the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. Bring your fiance. Bring someone you've been having a fight with. Come on down together. Let God do what only he can do and heal that relationship. God bless you. God bless all of you. If you're in the balcony, turn around and walk up. The ushers will bring you down. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. I'll do one more minute. In the both campuses, if you're in your seat, get up out of your seat. You're facing a big decision. You're trying to get out of doing this, but you need courage to obey God. And when you obey God through it, he's going to do something amazing in your life. Just come up out of your seat. Go down to the altar. So right now I'm going to release the campuses and I'm going to have the pastors there take over. God bless y'all, but right here we're still in a posture of prayer. Come up out of your seat. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. If you're in the balcony, just turn around and walk up and the ushers will bring you down. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. One more minute. God is talking to you. Don't try to be macho man, macho woman. You need God. We need God. You got a God-sized problem. You need a God-sized solution. God wants to do something in your heart, but he can't do it unless you surrender. God bless you. Anybody else, come out of your seat. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. God bless you. Come on. Bring your friend. Bring your adversary. Bring your spouse, your child. Come on down. You got a sick child, sick parent, a sick friend. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. You got a financial problem. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Now the rest of us, let's all get on our knees. Let's all of us get on our knees. Holy Spirit, we ask that you minister and encourage us. We ask that you speak to every single one of these people, that they would receive from you everything you have for them. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort them, you would give them wisdom, that you would reveal your holiness to them and your glory to them, and you would give them the courage that you are going to walk them through, that you would send your holy angels to minister to them, to strengthen them, to give them a vision and revelation of your holiness and your faithfulness and your power. Lord, I pray in the midst of all that we go through that we would never cease to stop worshiping you. We would never cease to stop glorifying you and honoring you and calling upon your holy name. Lord, we say we want to be used by you, so transform us that we may be ready, equipped, and prepared. It's not just going to come because we call on your name. We got to surrender. We got to be transformed. We got to be purified. We got to be cleansed. Thank you. And Lord, I pray for these faithful people that have come forward. I pray you touch their life. I pray you encourage them. I pray you give them vision and wisdom. Pray you give them courage. That they look fear, danger, an uncertain situation in the face and say, I trust God. And God is going to get me through. Not my courage, God's courage. Not my strength, God's strength. Not my wisdom, God's wisdom. Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and all the people kneeling in the front, you can just stand up. Everyone else can be seated. Let's give all these people a big hand. Let's give these people a big hand. God bless you. In a minute, we're going to usher you into the room, but I want to just encourage you to keep your hands open. Let God continue to do what he's going to do. Trust God in the unknown. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I don't know how you're going to work this out. Exactly. That's how it works. Exactly. But God, I trust you. Amen? And so as we're going to have you in a minute, take a right turn, and we're going to cheer them in the room. So take a right turn and walk this way. Let's walk this way.